Where'd John go?
He went to the bathroom.
Oh.
He'll be right back.
All right, guys, ready? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the November 6, 2024 Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. It is approximately 6:30 p.m. I'm going to do a roll call of the members. Raymond Tucker?
Present.
Joe Pasqualetti? Jim DeCastro?
Here.
John Magellino?
Present.
And I'm John Cervello here from Corporate Counsel's office. We have Angie Toomey, and from Code Enforcement, we have Mark Domenico. We're going to go in order of agenda items tonight. So first up, we have 24-011, Ryan Phelps, tenant of 1149 Erie Boulevard West, is seeking to establish a vehicle repair minor and vehicle dealership. We're going to have two actions on this one. It's going to require a special use permit because in the C2 zone, Rome Zoning Code Chapter 80, Table 80-12.1, a vehicle repair minor is listed as a special use. It's also going to require an area variance because in a C2 zone, Rome Zoning Code Chapter 80, Section 80-12.3X, says that a vehicle dealership requires a minimum of 1 acre to establish the use. Is there anybody here to represent this project? Sir, would you come forward? Please state your name, your address, and your relationship to the project.
Ryan.
You could pick it. You could take it right out.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe in a second. Yeah.
I'm Ryan Phelps. Auto Sales.
Is that working? I think it's working. Oh.
Got it. I got to turn it on.
There we go. Yeah.
Sir. Brian Phelps. I own Brian Phelps Auto Sales. We've got three other dealerships to the west of here, and I kind of wanted to try to have a nice little car dealership here in Rome. So,
sir, just please, I got to swear you in. So state your address and just your.
I live at 598 West Genesee Road, Baldwinsville, New York, 13027.
Okay. And you'll be the owner of this property?
Yep.
Okay, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, great. Okay, so what we do here is we ask you to go through your project, but in your application, you know that you had to answer a few questions. So I'm going to read those pretty much into the record. So just give me a minute to read them into the record, and then you can tell us about your project, hopefully addressing each one of the things that I read into the record. Okay? So... So under for your special use permit, under vehicle repair minor, these are the items that we'll be looking at. Number one, vehicle repair establishments may not store the same vehicles outdoors on the site for longer than 15 days once repair is complete. Only vehicles that have been or are being serviced may be stored outdoors. Number two, all repair operations must be performed within a fully enclosed building. All equipment and parts must be stored indoors. Any vehicles awaiting repair must be stored so that no fluids will drain into the sewer system, storm sewer system, such as the use of drip pans and other coverings. Number three, vehicle repair establishments that abut a residential district must be screened along interior side and rear lot lines with a solid wall or fence, a minimum of 6 feet and a maximum of 7 feet in height. Number four, no partially dismantled, wrecked, junked, or discarded vehicles or vehicles that sit in one or more flat tires or are inoperable in any manner may be stored outdoors on the premises. This standard does not apply to vehicles under repair. Number five, the sale of used or new vehicles is prohibited. Not applicable. A vehicle dealership is a permitted zone in the city. Okay, so this is not applicable for this one. Number six, no motor vehicles may be stored and no repair work may be conducted in the public right of way. Now, we're also going to consider a area variance for you. So I'm just going to read in what we would also look at for the area variance. The vehicle dealerships must have a minimum lot area of 1 acre. And you know the existing lot size for yours right now is 0.37. Number two, any ancillary repair operations must be performed within a fully enclosed building. All equipment and parts must be stored indoors, and any vehicles awaiting repair must be stored so that no fluids will drain into the storm sewer system, such as the use of drip pans and other coverings. And this is actually still part of the use permit. Three, vehicle dealerships with outdoor sales and display lots must include screening along 60% of outdoor display area that abuts a street. Such screening must consist of one or more of the following. A, small shrubs, a minimum of 18 inches in height, spaced a minimum of every three linear feet. B, a fence or a wall, a minimum of 2 feet in height. Or C, planters and or planter boxes spaced a minimum of every 5 linear feet. Okay, so one more thing. I'm going to read into area variance standards that we require as well. So number one, whether an undesirable change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties will be created by the granting of the area variance. Number two, whether the benefits sought by the applicant can be achieved by some method feasible for the applicant to pursue other than an area variance. Number three, whether the requested area variance is substantial. Number four, whether the proposed variance will have an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood or district. And number five, whether the alleged difficulty was self-created, which consideration shall be relevant to the decision of the Board of Appeals, but shall not necessarily preclude the granting of the area variance. All right. I'm done talking now. So now it's up to you. So kind of address those standards and what we're looking for when you're telling us about your project. Okay, that's great. Thank you.
There's a back to it, just as far as doors. And you guys want to have the vision? Wow.
So basically on the two separate things, one being the lot being too small for cars, essentially my plan, if you looked at that middle property, it's actually three properties, 47, 49, and 51. If you looked at that middle property, I would probably agree with you guys. That's not a big enough place to, you know, really have a very large car dealership, because you got the building in the back, the building in the front. So what the plan is to merge the lot on the left, the 1147, and a piece of the other lot that I'm purchasing, which is 1151. And I kind of drew it in this map. I did have a survey done, a professional survey done, and they are going to construct. I just wanted to wait until after we close, just in case there's some kind of issue for the second piece of it, to pay them to do it. But they're going to actually do a second survey with the new proposed lot lines that will make it more than an acre, so to speak. And that'll be all like on a survey, because when I called the guy who the gentleman who merges the tax parcels and stuff, he said it's a pretty straightforward process, but a new survey should get done just to outline, you know, what we're doing with the parcels. So the blue is what the dealership, car dealership portion would be, and the orange will be the existing Custom Creations remote start window tinting place that will be there as well. In the meantime, until we merge those lots, I was hopeful that you know, we could just get the reassurance that that middle property is okay to be and I don't know if it's an area, it's called an area variance, right? That it would be okay to call that a car dealership. Seems like I do believe there's smaller ones in the city, but those might be like grandfathered in, and it might be a newer rule or whatnot. So the first piece is the trying to get the middle lot approved for car dealership. Even though it's less than an acre, we plan to merge the lots together, which I believe makes it 1.7 acres. So it's quite a bit, be a pretty large lot, really, once it's all put together. I just felt funny buying a place as a car dealership for that sum of money, and it's not technically approved to be a car dealership. That'd be a hard pill to swallow, that you just spend all that money and essentially, hey, by the way, the tax guy that merges the lots decided we can't do that, and you can't do this with the lot. So I was hoping we could get that variance at least, so I could sleep at night knowing that even though we plan to merge the lots, which should make it qualify, that is okay for that. And then the second part is just for minor auto repair, which, as Mark explained to me, is just, you know, no heavy collision work or, you know, body work, anything like that. And apparently the C2 it allows it to be a car dealership as long as it's over an acre, but not auto repair. And just the way that our business is set up, you know, we like to sell the extended warranties and stuff. So last thing we want to do is sell a customer a car, sell them a nice 2 or 3 year warranty. And then when the car breaks in 6 months or a year or 2 years, because they're used cars, we have to tell them, hey, we can't work on your car. We can't service it. You know, we want to be able to service the community in auto repair on the cars we sell. And then eventually, as it grows, hopefully, with regular auto repair to, you know, just do general auto repair. My other three dealerships, I'll do outside auto repair and car lot stuff for sales. So I was hoping we could get the special use permit, which would allow it to not only be the car dealership, which the C2 gives you, I think, but also to do the minor auto repair, and that would cover everything I really need to do there.
All right, well, what we do is we'll, it's a good start. We'll open it up to the public, and then the board may have some questions for you after that.
Anything you need.
All right. Anybody wishing to speak about agenda item 24-011? Okay, nobody. It closes the public portion. I'm going to read into the record the comments from the Department of Planning, the Oneida County Department of Planning. Referral number OC197472, applicant Ryan Phelps in the city of Rome, location 1149 Erie Boulevard West, special use permit and area variance application for minor vehicle repair and dealership. The box is checked for no recommendation as to final action, dated 10-3-2024 by James J. Genovese II, the Commissioner of Planning. Board members, anybody have any questions?
The repair shop, you know the dimensions of that building?
So what we plan on doing, I don't have the exact to a T dimensions of what the size is, but if you look on the back, basically when we first move in, okay, there's the large building in the back. I did measure the ceilings. The ceilings are tall enough for lifts, so that part's all good.
That's the warehouse?
That's the warehouse in the back, yes. In the front, it looks like there are some broken off maybe bolts in the floor where they maybe had a couple lifts in there in the past. The seller says it hasn't been an auto repair shop in a long time, but maybe in the past it was. And actually the gentleman here said that years ago it was an auto repair shop. I don't know when or who, but definitely we're going to start it off with a couple lifts, do a little detail, do our car sales. And basically, it'll be a smaller operation probably for the first year. Soon as we get it off the ground, my plan is, you know, I would come to you guys for whatever you recommend I need to do as far as permits for, you know, finishing that back building. But it already does have electrical in there. It has a nice concrete floor all the way through. It looks like a nice solid building. So I would be looking to insulate that, put in a heating source, and essentially put in, you know, put in lifts. And you know, do auto repair, possibly an office back in there, and do our customer auto repair back there.
And the sales shack, will that stay? Will you use that?
No, I need to see how much that's going to cost to demolish. I don't know if there's if it has asbestos or it's going to be more money or not, but it pretty much has to go one way or another. I'm not going to have the space to run the kind of operation I want to run there with that there. So that needs to go. I would pay for that to have that taken down and then improve that back building. And when it's all said and done, we'd hopefully have a nice property there.
So which property do you own currently?
I haven't closed on them yet. I've got it was supposed to close a couple of weeks ago. We're tied up with a couple little nuances with the environmental stuff, and I'm hoping as soon as that's done in the next few weeks or so that we'll be able to close. I've just with the seller, we're going back and forth over a couple of little nuances as to who will pay up front for it and who will get credited back at closing. Just little simple things, but.
Do you have a purchase offer? Or anything?
Yep, I have it signed with me. Yep, and Mark has a copy of that too, I think, somewhere.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
All right, I got a couple questions. So standards, right? 15 days once repair is complete. like the first standard is vehicle repair establishments may not store the same vehicle outdoors on the site for longer than 15 days once this repair is complete. That's something you, that's 15 days. So you committed to that? I mean,
yeah, I mean, we do $1 million just at our Phoenix store, and out, like we have a really big service, just an outside customer pay service. So we a year, so we're very familiar. Like you don't have to worry about us. We run a really, really clean operation. We definitely aren't going to have people's cars laying around and making the city dirty on you. So don't worry about that. Yes.
And then all your equipment and repairs will all be done inside.
Yes.
Okay. No wrecked or junked cars. Stored outside, kind of the same thing, right?
The only exception to the rule wouldn't even be from the repair shop side. It might be, you know, you might take in a gross trade-in on the car dealership side, but we quickly want to get those out of there. So
okay. Nothing's being done in the public right-of-way. Minimum acres.
Well, you are aware of public right-of-ways.
I was going to ask, but I didn't want to sound silly. I'm sure we would structure everything around it. I know, like, my dealership in Sotus, it's in a very tight area, right in the village. So, you know, making sure that we were good with the fire lane, and it's very tight parking there. So I'm familiar with knowing that stuff is important to observe. Exactly where it is, I need to know that at some point, you know.
Yeah, I would definitely look into that because I have a feeling it's probably inbound where you think your property ends.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably right to the door.
I don't know if it's to the door, but I'm sure it probably has a 10-foot, 15-foot buffer off of Erie Boulevard.
Are you saying toward the front buildings?
Towards the front buildings, yeah.
So
if you're planning on displaying in front, just be aware that the public right-of-way probably extends into what you think is what you have. 10, 15 feet easily.
Which leads to my next question. I don't see, there's landscaping requirements. I do not see any landscaping requirements, or I don't see any landscaping on your plot plan here.
Yeah, I mean, I'd ask, Mark might want to elaborate on that part. With the landscaping, you'd say we could kind of go over that after. I did ask the question because I read it in there, and he'd said that we could look at different options for that, but I didn't know what to put for it.
I mean, it looks like you're displaying your cars all the way across the front of the lot, which wouldn't leave any room for any kind of landscaping there.
Nope. I actually don't plan on going to the front of the lot. Looking at it, just to show you where it shows the car dealership, that's just you can't put any cars really up there because you need to do your customer parking there. Like that's where everybody would drive in up to the building. So I'm not sure how far the right of way is off of the building. I'm assuming that, you know, there's room to park like the customer cars up against the building because there's always cars parked there now, right? Like,
right, right. Yeah, and again, I think for the purpose of this application, as it speaks right now, the configuration of the lots are three separate lots, with the middle lot being the skinny lot. With the building in the back of it, the building widths for both the front building and the back building consume the entire lot width, and there's a curb cut off the right of way, you know, from the state into to access the property. The special use permit is for the building in the back. So the landscape requirement, although it is in that, it's technically infeasible and impractical to look at a landscape buffering requirement on a pre-existing curb drop that goes across the front of an entire building on a narrow lot for the purposes of satisfying it. It just makes no sense technically.
Yeah, because we're just faced.
Because you're not looking at the whole lot with that and the one with the shack on it, because that's not part of the matter at this point, because they're not merged. So in talking with them, in my opinion, I think it would present an undue hardship and really destroy the entrances that the property enjoys right now by forcing a landscape requirement.
And also just visually, so you guys know, I could have drawn like the kind of the whole lot lines. I think I did in maybe one of the drawings I'd sent to Mark, but I don't plan on going like along Erie Boulevard, which might help me with Mr. Tucker's question about the right of way. I plan on doing long lines that kind of start wherever that right of way isn't and go backward to the woods, and then another one that goes backward to the woods while observing, you know, whatever the setback is from the, I'm assuming there's some kind of setback from the railroad tracks too that you have to observe on the back end. But yes, I would not plan on parking them all up in the front like that. Right. Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to do this before I close. You don't want to buy something and find out, hey, this doesn't work for what you're trying to do, but,
yeah. Okay.
Is there any other like little?
No.
Anybody else have any questions?
What kind of improvements are you going to do to the building?
Well, plan on doing a lot. So, I'll get permits for whatever's needed. Obviously, I plan on doing signage and stuff. I plan on painting that front building right away. I'm going to kind of redo the office space up in the front. I plan on I could have drawn it all out for you, but I didn't want to make this too messy because I didn't know if that was stuff for this meeting or more when you go to get like your permits for building or whatever. But I plan on kind of putting an office here in the middle, putting some service lifts in the back. And then, like I said, the right side over here was already used, I think, as a detail shop by the previous owner. So that'll be like our detail area. The big building in the back is where I'm going to end up spending some money. That needs to be fully insulated. You know, the electrical's in there, but I got to make sure it's all, compliant the way it's supposed to be. We'd put lifts in. We'd put some kind of heating source in. Obviously, we'd sheetrock it, do all those things in the back, and maybe kind of freshen up paint on that. That'd probably be a year in, probably my first year. I would just get things off the ground in the front building. In fact, the seller has expressed interest in maybe leaving some of his toys in the back shop for a little while, working something out there. I haven't confirmed that with him completely, but once we get things off the ground and I can see everything's going well, then I'd be ready to get the back shop going and dump some money in there, and then we'd have sales and service going real good.
Great. Perfect. Anybody else? Okay. All right, we're going to call for a vote.
We have to do a seeker.
Yeah, can you do that?
I'll make a recommendation for a negative declaration for a non-coordinated seeker review for the special use permit.
Okay, do I have a second on that?
Second.
Thanks, John. Any discussion on the seeker review? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say no. Okay, so the seeker negative declaration has been passed.
Can I ask what that is?
State environmental quality review.
Yeah, we just have to do a negative declaration to
fill it out.
If there's no environmental impact.
Substantial.
Okay. Yeah. It sounded scary. It's like no. Secret negative is like, yeah, it's something bad.
It kind of sound like, yeah, it's like double negative probation.
Okay, so that's not bad, right? That's okay.
You passed the first hurdle. Okay,
okay, that's
all right. So on item 24-011, Ryan Phelps, tenant of 1149 Erie Boulevard West, seeking to establish a vehicle repair minor and a vehicle dealership. We're going to consider the special use permit first, and this will be a vehicle repair minor is listed as a special use. On the special use permit, Raymond Tucker.
I feel that the applicant's application and his comments during the meeting have adequately met the requirements. So I vote in favor of the special use permit.
Thank you, Mr. Tucker. Joe Pasquivetti. Thanks, Joe. Mr. DeCastro. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Magellino.
I'm also in favor.
Yep. Same here. I believe that you know, my only question really was the landscape, and I think it was, explain, the reasoning for that being an issue. So I'm in favor of of the special use permit. So special use permit passed 5-0. Let's go to the area variance. Again, this is for 24-011. Area variance vehicle dealership requires a minimum of 1 acre to establish the use. I'll just start with Raymond again.
Based on his intent to merge the parcel next door, where it will have adequate space to roughly 1.7 acres, I feel that that's okay. So I'm in favor of the area variance.
Okay, Mr. Pasquiletti?
In favor.
Thank you, Mr. DeCastro?
In favor.
Thank you, Mr. Magellino?
In favor.
Thank you. I'm in favor as well. I think that, the fact that you're purchasing all three of the properties, it's you know, and going to merge them, that it's a good move.
We're going to have a ton of room. It's just a matter of making it all comply and be good. But I was nervous about buying it and then can't do it.
You know what? You know. We like it when people come to us first, because sometimes when they come after the fact, it causes major issues. So, yes, thank you for doing that.
No, thank you.
We appreciate that. All right. So both pass 5-0. Thank you, Mr. Phelps. Go on and do what you got to do with the property. And,
okay.
And talk to Mr. Domenico if you need any building permits or anything like that.
Okay. Thank you. Am I all set? Do I take off?
You can, okay. You can go.
You guys have a great night. Thank you, everybody.
You too. Okay. Next item on the agenda, 24-012. Michael Corbett, owner of 507 North George Street, is seeking to construct a 32-by-24 detached accessory dwelling unit in the rear yard. The proposed unit will be 5 feet from the lot line. This requires an area variance because in the RP Historic District, Rome Zoning Code Section 80-12.3, principal use standards under K says dwelling unit, accessory dwelling unit. Section 4 says detached accessory dwelling units may only be located in the rear yard. Detached accessory dwelling units must be located 10 feet from any lot line and from any principal building. Is there anybody here to represent this project?
Mike Corbett.
All right, same routine. Please state your name, your address, and your relationship to the project, and I'll swear you in.
Michael W. Corbett. The address is 507 North George, Rome, New York, 13440, and I'm the owner of the property.
Okay, Mr. Corbett, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do so swear.
All right, great. So you're looking for an area variance. Once again, I'll read the standards into the record and just try to address them with your description. Number one, whether an undesirable change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties will be created by the granting of the area variance. Number two, whether the benefits sought by the applicant can be achieved by some method feasible for the applicant to pursue other than an area variance. Number three, whether the requested area variance is substantial. Number four, whether the proposed variance will have an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood or district. And five, whether the alleged difficulty was self-created, which consideration shall be relevant to the decision of the Board of Appeals, but shall not necessarily preclude the granting of the area variance. So those are the standards we consider. Tell us about your project.
Okay, well, I guess I'd first start with telling you about the house that it's going behind. The house is the only house in Rome on the National Register of Historic Places, and it's there because of its architecture. So, you know, I don't want to do anything to the architecture of the house, especially the appearance from the outside. The problem with the house is there's 21 steps from street level on George Street to the level where the bath and bedroom facilities are in the house. My sister is living with us now, and she's got some mobility issues. So the deal is, you know, if you don't want to change the house and you still have to deal with the steps, what do you do? And this, the solution was to come up with a accessory dwelling unit in the back. The smallest one that would meet the requirements, about 950 square feet, would have a 24-by-32 foot footprint. And the only way we could put it there, which would, you know, make sense for the rest of the house, is to reduce the side offset clearance to 5 feet. Okay, now this area in Rome, there is no structure that I border I'm on that even has 5 feet. So, you know, it's not like it's gonna be anything new and different.
Okay. Yeah, and I think we're pretty aware of the house. Just real quick, you did go to the zoning board, correct? Or the planning board?
Yes, and I have their approval with me if you need to see it.
I have it right here. I just want to put that in the record that you're good to go with the planning board. All right, we're going to open it up to the public for now and see if anybody would like to speak on this regarding item 24-012. No one? Okay. Public portion is closed. I don't have to read this in, right? That's just, yeah. Okay. Do you have any questions from the board? So that carriage house next door is pretty close to the lot line too. So it'd be very similar to the
one at 505 North
Church. Not a carriage house. The carriage house at 505.
Yeah, it's about 3.5 feet from the property line.
All right, so you're even better than that, huh? Okay. Planning board's good with your exterior, you know, what you're planning on doing the exterior and everything?
Yes, it's still tentative right now. What I would say is the thing that's fixed is the 24-by-32 foot footprint, mm-hmm. and it'd have a 12-by-12 roof, so it matched the garage back there.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay.
Kate, you wouldn't be able to see it from the front.
You'd be able to see it, see part of it looking down between the houses.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Any questions? Anybody else? Nope. All right. Let's do a vote on this one then. I'll start with Joe Pasqualetti on this one. Hold on. Let me say 24-012, Michael Corbett, owner of 507 North Jersey Street, constructing a accessory dwelling unit, looking for an area variance to reduce the side lot to 5 feet from 10 feet. All right, Joe Pasqualetti.
It's not that overwhelming. There are tight areas over there. He wants to do it. Let him do it.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
All right, that's a yes. Okay, so Jim DeCastro.
Yes. Weren't you in front of us before on your deck? Did you?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, I thought so.
Yeah, you gave me a zero clearance on that one.
Yeah, so on the deck there.
So if you gave him zero on that.
yeah, I'm in favor of it.
All right, thanks. Jem Angelino.
I'm also in favor.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to look at it, and it looks like if I look at the standards that we looked at, there's not going to be anything that no undesirable change. Looks like that's the only method feasible. The request is not substantial. The variance will have an adverse effect. I don't see it having an adverse effect. Whether the alleged difficulty, well, self-created, but it's not. These are shall consider items. So I'm going to vote yes on that as well. Mr. Tucker?
Yeah, I feel it matches what's already existing in the neighborhood. And I can appreciate what 5 feet means on a 60-foot wide lot. So
yeah,
I'm in favor.
Okay, great. Thanks. So yes, you're all set to go.
Thank you very much.
Board approves 5-0. Thank you, Mr. Corbett. Okay, next item on the agenda, 24-013. John and Christy Reap, owners of 8015 Lothar Road, are seeking to construct a garage warehouse as a principal building prior to the construction of a single family house. This requires a use variance in an RR zone, Rome Zoning Code section 80-12.1. The use matrix table, a warehouse is listed as a non-permitted use in an RR zone district. Is there anybody here to represent this project?
Me.
All right. You know the routines. Please state your name, your address, and your relationship to the project.
My name is Christy Falcone Reap, and I am one of the co-owners of the property. And I'm going to be building, well, having the garage built.
Ms. Reap, do you swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, great. So once again, looking for a use variance. So I am going to read the standards that we will consider when we are making a decision here. So number one, a little bit different than the area variance. Number one, the appellant cannot realize a reasonable return provided that lack of return is substantial as demonstrated by competent financial evidence. Number two, the alleged hardship relating to the property in question is unique and does not apply to a substantial portion of the district or neighborhood. Number three, the requested use variance, if granted, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And number four, the alleged hardship has not been self-created. So yeah, give us a little sense of what your project's all about, and we'll do what we did the last couple ones.
We will, in the near future, be constructing a house. We purchased a derelict property from the city of Rome. We followed through on our agreement to demolish the property. And now there are certain materials that are left over from the house, which we'll be salvaging. And before I can remove the very last piece of that, I need a place to store the materials, which would be this new garage that we're constructing. And that is a metal building. It'll be 24 feet wide, 25 feet deep. At this time, we will not be doing any electrical wiring or anything like that. It will be holding some construction materials and my motorcycle and some clothing and maybe some dishes and pots and pans.
Just cold storage then? You know, nothing?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the public. Anybody wishing to speak regarding this project? And that would be project or item 24-013. Nobody wishing to speak. Public portion there is closed. Any questions from the board? Before we have questions from the board, let me read this into the... this is another Oneida County request for consider. We have some for consideration. So it's regarding John and Christy Reap, 8015 Lothar Road. The subject action is use variance to construct a garage warehouse as a principal building prior to the construction of a single family house. The box for no recommendation as to final action has been checked, and that it was dated 10/3/2024 by James J. Genovese, second commissioner of planning. All right, now to the board. Anybody?
You're going to hate me for this, but use variances have a very hard requirement to meet. So you have to kind of prove that financially it's you're not feasible to do what you need to do, which is an allowed use there prior to this. And it's, I understand that it's a convenience thing, but it doesn't sound like it's a financial hardship. So can you convince me that it's an actual financial hardship?
Well, right now we have most of what we own in a storage facility. So that's running quite a bit of money each month. It would be saving us money, actually.
When will you be building the house?
We're anticipating starting, we believe, within a year.
Within a year? Like mm-hmm. early next year? Like, you know, or?
Probably middle of next year.
Middle of next year? Just curious. Okay. Go ahead, Mark. Ray. I know.
This picture was in with the application. Is that a picture of the house you plan to build?
Yes, we're just going to be enlarging a room or two.
Thanks.
Any other questions? All right, so yeah, hold on a sec. Let me see if I have any questions. Okay, we're gonna have to do a negative declaration on the seeker on this one. Anybody want to? Make a motion for the negative deck?
So moved. All for right. A negative declaration.
Thank you, Mr. Magellino. And you want to second on that one?
Second.
All right, Mr. Pasqualetti. Okay. All right. Any discussion on the negative deck? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Okay, that passed. All right, now we are going to consider the question. So we're talking item 24-013, John and Christy Reap, owners of 8015 Lothar Road, seeking to construct a warehouse as a principal building prior to the construction of a single family house. They require a use variance because a warehouse is listed as a non-permitted use in an RR zone district. I'm going to start with Raymond on this one just because I feel like he has something to say.
The applicant can meet item one of a use variance standard, which is applicant cannot realize reasonable return provided that the lack of return is substantial as demonstrated by competent financial evidence. So unfortunately, I have to vote against this use variance.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Tucker. Mr. Pasqualetti.
Well, she needs a place to store the stuff. Obviously, she's storing place material now, and it's costing her money. She puts this up to save her that money, and then the house is coming.
Oh, yes.
You do have to build the house.
Yes, we have an estimate on it.
Built the house in about a year, so I'm in favor.
Thank you, Mr. Pasqualetti. Mr. DeCastro.
Yeah, I live down the road. I've been watching the progress on the house. If there was any concern that it wouldn't be built, I don't know if you wanted to give them a time frame, but they've been working on it right along. So if you wanted to do something, if you know, make somebody feel better, but I'm in favor.
Thank you. Mr. Magellino.
I'm also in favor.
Thank you. So I'm actually I agree with Mr. Tucker on it. We kind of want to hit our standards. And, you know, obviously my vote really doesn't count at this point, but we want to make sure that we're, you know, with the use variance, we want to hit all the standards because it's not an or, it's an and. So I don't think you hit the number, the first one either, but I'm going to vote no, but you passed 3-2. So congratulations.
Yeah.
Talk to Mr. Domenico about getting a building permit or whatever you need to do in order to move forward.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Oh. All right. We have water around here. Okay, so we're going to go to 24-014. And that is Barry and Mary Hewitt, owner of 8357 Fish Hatchery Road, are seeking to construct a detached garage in the front yard of the lot. This is an area variance because in an RR zone, Rome Zoning Code Section 80-13.2M4, detached garages are permitted only in the rear, interior side, and corner side yards. A 3-foot setback is required unless the lot line abuts a public right-of-way, in which case no setback is required. Is anybody here to represent this project?
Barry Hewitt, 8357 Fish Hatchery Road, Rome.
Mr. Hewitt, do you swear to tell truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the
truth? I'll try. I will.
Right. You got it. All right. So, all right. Once again, I will read the standards of an area variance into the record. Please try to address them when you tell us about your project.
Okay.
Number one, whether an undesirable change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties will be created by the granting of the area variance. Number two, whether the benefits sought by the applicant can be achieved by some method feasible for the applicant to pursue other than an area variance. Number three, whether the requested area variance is substantial. Number four, whether the proposed variance will have an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood or district. And number five, whether the alleged difficulty was self-created, which considerations shall be relevant to the decision of the Board of Appeals, but shall not necessarily preclude the granting of the area variance. All right, Mr. Hewitt, tell us about your project.
Yeah, it's a 12 by 20 cold storage garage, no electric, no heat. It was purchased as a prefab garage from Taylorville Structures because I figured out they know what to do and I haven't got to worry about dealing with codes. Sorry, Mark. Just trying to avoid it, that's all. And where they want me to put it, between my carport and that shed was constructed by the previous owner, is only 9 feet.
Okay.
It's impossible to put a 12-foot garage in a 9-foot space. So the reason for the garage is when I was going to Florida in the wintertime, I could put everything under the carport. It wasn't secure, but I could put it out of the weather. Now that I'm on dialysis and we don't go to Florida anymore, I can't do that. So I have no place to put all of this equipment. Mowers, snowblowers, utility trailer. And I had a lawnmower stole a few months ago. But unfortunately, the crook wasn't too smart, and he stole one that didn't work. So he actually did me a favor. I didn't have to dispose of it. And there was a perfectly good one right next to it, but again, not much sense there. This is a picture of where the garage will be. It's kind of on the side yard and blocking the, and that's the garage.
Okay.
Okay, and I can't put it in the sheds because there's one shed, and the other shed that was constructed by the one, that's the other shed, so I'm not going to get anything in there other than me if my wife gets mad at me. And again, I can't possibly put it, and if I can't put it there, nobody can, obviously, okay? And I was thinking of people in the future. My wife said, why are you thinking of somebody in the future? We only have one car because we're both retired. And I said, well, most people have two cars today. So maybe somebody would want a garage to put their car in, okay, and then one under the carport. So that's basically about it. I mean, it's not now that complicated. And I've drone by. There's a car, there's a place down. I'm sure they're grandfathered. I'm sure this rule didn't come in. There's a two-stall garage that's not in line with the house. So I go by it every day, and it doesn't bother me. I don't look at that and say, well, that's not in line with the house. So So I'm asking permission to build this garage so I can get my stuff inside out of the weather.
Okay.
And I have flower boxes on all the windows. That was my wife's request. There had to be flower boxes on the windows.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hewitt. Appreciate it. Anybody wishing to speak from the public?
Sorry, Bert.
Regarding, what is this, 24-014? Please state your name and your address.
And do you want to come down to the front so it's picked up for with the construction? It was probably unplugged today.
Mm-hmm. I'm Tom Butler. I live at 5680 Old Oneida Road, Rome, New York. Might want to take a seat, Barry. I'm disgusted with this process. The city has let me down, and I think the city is letting itself down. There is a process in place, sir, to allow which or not allow projects in this city.
Sir, which process? Which process? I'm sorry.
I'll address that in my statement. If you could just give me my public time, please.
Well, it need to be in relation to item 24-014.
Oh, it is. I thought I made that clear.
Okay. Which part of the... Okay.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
Okay.
There's a process in place to allow or not allow projects in this city. When a project is not allowed, an appeal can be made in front of this board who decides whether or not that project is acceptable to the city. This process was followed. This board made a decision. And now you're being forced to rescind that decision.
Sir, we didn't make a decision. We didn't make a decision on 24-014
yet. The fact that this city would not go to bat for the citizens of this community is a travesty. The negative declaration that was made on the CCAR application is the reason for this whole mess. In this case, your negative declaration left the door open for this company, whatever their name is now.
Sir, I understand what you're doing.
I think they're on the third or fourth name to pursue litigation.
We're going to close the public meeting if nobody's wishing to speak.
The negative declaration changes the fact that the city could have fought this in court,
sir,
and would have fought this if they wanted to stand behind its citizens.
Mr. Butler.
The citizens on Old Oneida Road who overwhelmingly signed a petition against this project.
Want to adjourn quicker?
The main point of this lawsuit was that the board produced a negative CCAR declaration and then cited some environmental reasons and decisions for denying the permit, making your decisions contradictory. Here's the thing. All the board members that voted no cited multiple reasons for denying the application.
I have a motion for a recess. Do I have a second?
Multiple reasons supported by the written ordinance of this city.
Second.
All right.
Of the four no votes, not harmonizing with surrounding uses.
Yes.
Definitely going to impact the value of houses. The biggest ones for me with the diminishing value.
We good?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to do this again, take a motion to get back into session.
So moved.
By John, seconded by Raymond. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say no. Okay, Department of Planning notification, Barry and Mary Hewitt, 8357 Fish Hatchery Road. The subject action is area variance to construct a detached garage in a front yard. The box for no recommendation as to final action has been checked. Dated 10-3-2024, James J. Genovese, second Commissioner of Planning, signed that. Do we have any questions for Mr. Hewitt?
No.
All right. Let me start with you, John. On a roll call vote on,
Oh, I'm sorry, John, I did have one question.
Oh,
how,
sorry.
How far forward does this put it in front of your house? I don't think I saw a number.
Well, it's not really. It's
I know it's
front.
Sideways, but
it's kind of on the side.
Give me a guesstimate.
I got a diagram here. I mean, that's talking. There's a garden here, the sheds, and it's just
10 feet.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, about 10 right. feet.
I just that's the only dimension we really didn't have.
Okay. So regarding item 24-014, Barry and Mary Hewitt looking on 8357 Fish Hatchery Road, looking for an area variance for a detached garage that is only permitted in the rear. They're looking to do it in the front or side yard, front yard area. So I'm going to go to John Magellino.
Yeah, I don't think it'll create an undesirable change or an undesirable change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood. I don't think there's another method feasible to solve this. I don't believe it's substantial, so I'm in favor of the project.
Thank you, Mr. Magellino. Mr. DeCastro. Thank you, Mr. DeCastro. He said in favor. I don't know, unless the microphone didn't pick it up.
In favor.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Pasqualetti.
In favor.
Thank you, Mr. Tucker.
Yeah, I agree. Based on the configuration of the lot, I don't see another option for where he can put it. So.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Tucker. And as I standards look pretty good to me too. So, Mr. Hewitt, 5-0. I vote in favor of as well. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
And then make sure you speak with Mr. Domenico as far as whatever you need to do as far as building
okay.
permits or anything.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I have a letter from this actually say that was sent to my house. Can I read a portion of this letter? It's communication from here actually.
I don't understand from here. What do you mean? No, there's no public portion. So like what do you mean there's communication from here?
I got a notice of a public hearing. Can I just read what I received from the board?
Okay.
My name is Gennady Ostbuck, live on 5673 Old Oneida Road. I would like to read the letter. It says, notice is hereby given that the Zoning Board of Appeals of the City of Rome will hold a pre-meeting on November 6th, 2024 at 6 p.m. in the caucus room and hold a hearing in the Common Council Chamber, second floor, City Hall, 198 North Washington Street, Rome, New York, 13440, on November 6th, November 2024 at 6:30 p.m. On the following, at which time all interested persons will be heard. So what you guys did to Mr. Butler, is the case that we're addressing. And you said that there's no public hearing. In the letter, it says that all interested people will be heard. You guys shut him off.
No, it's specifically for each individual project.
Okay, so we are here for that project that you'll be addressing, right?
But it's not on the agenda. But that has already been on the agenda for probably three or four different.
Okay, meetings. And will we be able to speak?
No, okay. I've been
over here. It says all interested people will be heard
regarding the agenda items.
Correct. This is the agenda item. I'm sorry. EFCA 2024-001813, I believe.
That's not an agenda item.
Oh, I'm sorry. just what you guys are doing is, Tom is right. It's not what you guys, the way you guys are approaching it, you guys already voted.
Correct. But we've also had several public hearings regarding this.
Correct. And we were here and we it was voted upon. And I was told in this letter that I would be able to be heard. And okay. So was Tom.
And we informed Mr. Butler as well that in this specific instance, this item has already been considered in front of the public.
So I have personally called the city numerous times, the mayor's office including. I have not heard anything back, crickets. And you guys are now shooting us up again. I don't have a letter, but I have a picture of the letter. I can show it to you.
No, I mean, you read it, so.
Yeah. It says everybody will be heard, interested parties. I am an interested party. Tom's an interested party.
Are you guys talking about something?
No.
Oh.
So, again.
I'm just looking for counsel.
Yeah. The letter went out from the office. We use the same method of the 1,000 feet.
And I can read the same method of 1,000 feet, you know.
The same as the solar company would have done when they had the original application.
Okay. And
just as a courtesy for the constituents to know that there was an item that was going to be discussed relative to a proposed settlement agreement.
From my understanding, you guys already made a decision the second time.
There's no decision made until it's deliberated by the board. The board's got to deliberate this matter in executive session, and that's what's going to transpire tonight. And because it's not an agenda item, it's not an application. The application was already heard.
Okay.
This is a consideration by the board under executive session based on a legal matter that they're going to consider the stipulation agreement. So out of transparency for anybody that was involved with this thing, we took a look at notification to the public under our normal methods, which is, around the perimeter of the property of a reduced distance, no notification. My office decided that in the sake of transparency, we're going to honor the 1,000 foot. And get all those notifications out there. So anybody that was notified relative to the proceedings that happened prior, the two meetings that happened prior, that they were at least aware that this settlement agreement is on the table and it's going to be considered under executive
session. What is the settlement agreement getting us as citizens that are going to lose property value?
Well, again, this is not for me to respond to that question,
but
it doesn't say. Yeah, you can argue the semantics of the letter.
That's not semantics.
As a matter of fact, that what it's talking about are the items that are on the agenda. This is not an agenda item. It's not an agenda item for consideration that would trigger a public hearing. You know, we've had a discussion with the attorney's office regarding that, and the decision was that it is not a public hearing associated with a settlement agreement that's considered under executive session. There's not that vehicle there.
Based on that letter, Tom's record should be,
Well, and I'm just telling you, that's where it was settled out. So that's the clarification.
I showed up because I thought I'd be heard again.
Understood.
And I just want to clarify one small thing. When Mr. Domenico mentioned executive session, I believe what he meant to say was executive matter. It's an executive matter to be considered. Whether or not the board decides to proceed in an executive session, there is a procedural component to that, and they're aware of that, and they would follow that.
Are you guys going to vote on it?
We're going to recess into executive session, and we're going to discuss it. Yeah, we have to announce that. We come back and announce it, correct?
If you choose to enter into executive session, one of the members will need to make a motion that will need to state with specificity your reason for entering into executive session. And in this case, if it's for this agenda item, you would include the name of the case. That motion would then need to be seconded, and it would need to be approved by an affirmative majority. That would mean three members would need to approve entry.
All right, so that's what we're going to do now, and then we're going to go into executive session, and then we're going to, if approved, we will do that. So I'm going to ask for a motion to go into executive session for consideration of proposed stipulation of settlement regarding New York Rome Old Oneida Road Solar LLC versus Zoning Board of Appeals of the City of Rome, New York, and the Planning Board of the City of Rome, New York, index number EFCA2024. -001813. So I would look, based on that, I would ask for a motion to, or I will make a motion to enter into an executive session to discuss pending litigation of the proposed stipulation of settlement regarding New York Rome Old Oneida Road LLC versus Zoning Board of Appeals of the City of Rome, New York, and the Planning Board of the City of Rome, New York. Index number EFCA2024-001813. Anybody want to second that?
I'll second the motion.
Raymond Tucker second it. Any discussion?
We need a vote by each member to enter into the roll call vote. Session.
Okay, so we'll do a roll call vote starting with Ray Tucker.
Just to enter into executive session.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And thank you, Mr. Pasquale. Yes. All right. Mr. DiCastro? Yes. From Mr. DiCastro. Mr. Magellino? Yes. And yes from me. So that's 5-0. We will enter an executive session, discuss the matter, and then return to the meeting to talk about the vote on the record. Well, everybody, I'm going to take a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Mr. Tucker, do I have a second to come out of executive session? Second. Mr. Pasquale, second. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed, say no. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we discussed in executive session that we took a look at the notification, and we're going to allow an open hearing for public comment. What we're going to do is we're going to limit each speaker to 5 minutes. If you want to read the same document, it's just 5 minutes per speaker. So if you need to switch the speaker to after a 5 minute period, we're going to allow an open comment period for this agenda item or for this stipulation. So is there anybody wishing to speak regarding index the New York Rome Old Oneida Road Solar LLC versus Zoning Board of Appeals of the City of Rome, New York, and the Planning Board of the City of Rome, New York, index number EFCA2024-001813. Please come forward, state your name and address, and what I'll do is I will gavel at 5 minutes, and if you guys want to, and we would ask that you please stop at that point and then switch it. And if there's another person that wishes to speak, or if you want to try to get through it all in 5 minutes, that Robert's rules is pretty much 5 minutes. So, anyone want to do it? Okay. As soon as you start, again, state your name and then.
Tom Butler, 5680 Old Oneida Road.
Okay.
I appreciate the board taking a minute to listen to the public's comments. The city has let me down, and I think the city is letting itself down. There's a process in place to allow or not allow projects in this city. When a project is not allowed, an appeal can be made in front of this board, who decides whether or not that project is acceptable to this city. This process was followed. This board made a decision. Now you're being forced to rescind that decision under threat of lawsuit. The fact that this city would not go to bat for its citizens is a travesty. The negative declaration that was made on the seeker application is the reason for this whole mess. In this case, your negative declaration left the door open for this company, whatever their name is now, I think they're on their third or fourth name, to pursue litigation. I don't think the negative declaration changes the fact that this city could have fought this in court, and they would have if they wanted to stand behind its citizens. Citizens on Old Oneida Road who overwhelmingly signed a petition against this project. The main point of this lawsuit was that the board produced a negative seeker declaration and then cited some environmental reasons in the decisions for denying the permit, making your decision contradictory. Here's the thing. All the board members that voted no cited multiple reasons for denying the application, multiple reasons supported by the written ordinances of this city, not contradictory to the negative seeker declaration. Of the four no votes, these are the four no votes right here. These are quotes from your guys' decision. Quote, not harmonizing with the surrounding uses. That's from section 80-19.2F6. Quote, definitely going to impact the values of houses. Section 80-19.2F7. Quote, the biggest ones for me with the diminishing value. That's section 80-19.2F7. Quote, there is a direct conflict in this zoning code on this. If we're supposed to be protecting the agricultural land, then that's what we should be doing in that zone. I'd like to go over some of the code that this project does not adhere to and the code rightly referenced in your previous decision. I'll refrain from reading the actual code. I'll just cite the section numbers and how it applies to this case. Section 90-5.1A. This project does not promote and protect agricultural land. It does the exact opposite. It does not promote the continuation of farming. It does the opposite. Section 80-19.2F1. This will, without a question, change the established character of the street and the neighborhood setting. Section 80-19.2F2. As a surrounding property owner, an adjoining property, and a property that shares 2,000 feet of property line with this parcel, this use is more objectionable than the current permitted use. Section 80-19.2F6. According to the applicant's computer-generated models, there will be no impact of glare or noise to my property or to other landowners. If I had unlimited funds, I'm sure I could find an expert that would disagree. Section 80-19.2F7. This use will diminish the value of my property. Again, I don't have the money to hire an expert to testify on my behalf in front of this board, but several independent studies concerning property values near solar farms have been conducted and find a statistically significant negative effect for homes near solar projects compared to homes further away. That's a Guar and Lang study in 2020, and that's an Abstizi study in 2019. One thing I don't need an outside expert for is the enjoyment of my property will be diminished by this project. These are the reasons the board denied the permit. The city council did not want to stand behind our written ordinances and stand up for the members of this community. And should they? As the corporation council for the city of Rome told me, quote, the council's office does not represent the citizens of Rome. We represent the city. So I guess you can count on lawyers doing what lawyers do, settling and not fighting. Someone needs to fight for the citizens of this city, and I have yet to find many that will. We are ruining our area with these solar farms. The only people that are benefiting from this are the developers and National Grid. National Grid wants to raise our rates for electricity. How does that make any sense? I have six solar farms within 2 miles of my house already. Shouldn't that lower my costs? Shouldn't the residents of this community and city benefit from the sacrifice of their view sheds, their agricultural land, and the environment? This whole process makes no sense. We have companies coming into our community and putting these solar fields in, and they are completely subsidized by taxpayer money. If there are no subsidies for these projects, there is no way these companies would be investing in this market. The money is for them isn't in production of electricity. That's why they sell them as soon as they complete building them. The profit is in taking our tax dollars, then running. We also don't charge them any tax on the land they are leasing and forever changing. If I built a multi-million dollar facility on my property, you better believe the city of Rome would be there increasing my taxes. But the city does not do that for these developers.
Mr. Butler, that's 5 minutes. Thank you. Please again state your name and address.
My name is Gennady Ostbuck, 5673 Old United Road, Rome, New York. We aren't even making them pay any taxes whatsoever, not even sales tax on energy they're selling to National Grid. You have a private company selling a commodity to another private company in the city and the county, and we collect absolutely no sales tax on those transactions. Two foreign companies, by the way. What other business gets away with that? We should be taxing the daylights out of them and not taxing our locally owned businesses to death. It makes no sense. It is not how government is supposed to work. The citizens of the community are supposed to have the final say, and when the state, county, and federal government comes in and tells us to do something we don't want to do, the local politicians are supposed to just stand up and say no. Basically, you guys are supposed to back us up. It is because our politicians in this city have no backbone, or is it because they are pushing the agenda of the state in hopes of gaining political favor or funding instead of standing up for the people that put them in their position? I guess we won't ever know the answer to that question, but we do know the politicians in the city are unwilling to stand with its residents and say enough is enough. To use practical thinking and awareness to put stop gaps in place to protect the home values and neighborhoods of its tax-paying citizens. Here are some facts from the City of Rome's comprehensive plan, something Mr. Sabella should be very familiar with. With 3,500 acres of land, Griffiths Business and Technology Park offers considerable capacity for new commercial and industrial development. Beyond the park, there are about 740 acres of industrial use across 59 parcels and 950 acres of commercial use across 743 parcels. There are also 25 vacant industrial parcels over about 385 acres and 170 vacant commercial parcels over about 230 acres. Approximately 22% of the city's existing commercial land is vacant or underutilized. Listed under agriculture goals and strategies in the cities of Rome's comprehensive plan, quote, target assistance to remaining viable farmers under economic development strategy. The City of Rome's comprehensive plan says we should be offering assistance to the remaining viable farmers, and it offers an insight into how much underutilized land there is in the city, where we could strategically put these solar fields that would not destroy and diminish the amount of agricultural land in the city. It should be carefully considered that our open lands not to be targeted by solar. The land may be cheaper to build on economically for the developer, but it comes at a cost for the community. Our view sheds, our sense of place, our natural environment have been under constant attack from the development of solar arrays, and our land should be protected while we continue to plan and site solar arrays to meet projected energy plans. The city is raising my taxes this year, and as a willfully contributing member of this community, I have no problem footing the bill for the benefit of the city, but I do expect the city to stand up for me, and in this case, they have failed. This is a failure on so many levels. The fact that the city never even submitted or completed a written decision on this matter makes me wonder if the city ever intended on ever doing anything but approving the project. Has this whole thing just been a big show? I'm not sure of the process I'm not sure what the process is for this meeting. I thought your previous decision was final. If this is brought to another vote, I would urge you to stand with the citizens of our community and do the right thing for the second time. My position is that this project should not be approved based on the fact that it does not adhere to the following City of Rome ordinances, Section 90-5.1A, Section 80-19.2FI, Section 80-19.2F, Section 80-19.2F, subsection 6, and Section 80-19.2F, Section 7. Subsection 7. If you believe it doesn't adhere to any of these ordinances, you should not approve this project. You have already made the determination. For some reason, you must make it again. Deny this application and let the chips fall where they may. This board has been the one part of the city government that has shown some integrity and support for its residents. Don't let this company or city bully you into changing your mind. You made your decision once for a good reason. Don't let them take your integrity away from you. Again, we've watched you this evening on some of the other rulings. Just one section, you you know, hinge on that, do the right thing.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to speak? And thank you guys for coming back out and speaking. I mean, we know that there was, you know, when you read the statement that you, the letter that you received, then, you know, we figured, you know, you guys deserve to be heard, and we didn't cut you off to be obstinate or problematic or anything. We just, it just wasn't a response to that specific item on the agenda that we were addressing at the time.
We were just grasping about the opportunity.
I knew you were trying to find an opportunity to speak. I get it. So we hope that, you know, we were able to provide that. All right. Thank you. That's going to close the public comment section, unless there's anybody else wishing to speak right now. Okay. We're going to close the public comment session. So what we need to do is we need to do a roll call vote on this pending litigation. So we are going to have a roll call vote. The stipulation in order of settlement and discontinuance regarding New York Rome Old Oneida Road Solar LLC versus Zoning Board of Appeals of the City of Rome, New York, and the Planning Board of the City of Rome, New York, index number EFCA 2024-001813. Is that appropriate way to open it up and to put it into the record? Okay, we're going to do a roll call vote on this.
Hey, John, before we vote, I'd like to read something.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you to vote first. Do you want to read it?
Sure.
While I ask you to vote?
Sure.
Okay.
So, I heard you guys, but I want to just read this. So the code allows solar installations in that zone by special permit. That's effectively an allowed use with added stipulations. We were overstepping our authority questioning the code that was passed by the elected members of the Common Council. We were mistaken in our understanding of what is required of a special use permit, and upon review of the applicant through their application comments, met those requirements. We have no technical rebuttal of their application. Therefore, we have to put our personal beliefs to the side and follow the laws that govern our board. Therefore, I'm voting in favor of entering into the stipulation, order of settlement, and discontinuance.
Thanks, Raymond. Mr. Pasqualetti.
I know I voted no before. I still don't like it. My vote got thrown out. The judge said, whoever said it. No, we're not accepting that. We're not accepting that. They want greens. The state, last training, the state told us, don't listen to you people. Go by the facts. I'm just telling you what happened. So I'm going to have to vote in favor.
Thanks, Mr. Priscilla.
You know where I live? You know where I live? Don't. Canterbury Hill. Across the street, all field. To my right, to my left, all field. To my right, field. I don't want to see that. I don't
so,
want to
guys,
see
that. We can't have a communication guys. Back and forth. I mean, I think that's... thanks, Mr. Pasqualetti. Mr. DeCastro.
Everything that you have said is 100% true, and you've missed out a bunch of other things, decommissioning, stuff like that. I'm solar has to go certain areas. The dump, there was one. We put one at Walmart. Not where we are. You said you have 6 solar farms in 2 miles. I have 6 within a mile. I got 3 in my back door down your road. There was a fire this spring. The fumes came in the house. If my sister wasn't home, she'd have to evacuate and paint the whole house. What you said, these people are there for the money. And our Common Council took 1 full year to pass legislation. And this is what we get. We get a special use permit to try to accommodate you. We've had one at Walmart. We passed it. It was in a wet zone, vacant property for over 25 years, was never going to be used. I hear what you gentlemen are saying, and I don't like it, and I feel for you 100%, because I'm in the same boat as you gentlemen. And like I said, I'm not against solar, but this council failed the citizens of the city to protect your rights. And we're up here as a volunteer, and they've hired top attorneys to come and appeal what we did. And I know I don't like it. I don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it. But after seeing other cases that what's gone through, there's no way we can win this at all. And like I says, you need to come, and it won't affect the outcome of yours because it will still go through. But maybe for the other citizens in the city, it might help them, because we've had them come up across from Williams Road in a drove, come out, and we stuck up for them, following the code and whatever, and had no repercussion on it. So with this being said, not that I want to do this, but legally, there's nothing that we say or do that's going to prevent this from happening. Your next step is to go to Common Council to express your concerns. And whatever, if you think you have a legal avenue, I don't know that. I'm not a lawyer, but I have to vote yes. And just by following what is here. Not that you want to hear me say this, but I feel for you. Because like I says, my property is just down the road from you, and mine are within 100 yards of my view. And then the other one's going to be down in the marina. So I have three within 100 yards of my property. And they took up prime residential property that could have been a beautiful housing development very easily. And this is what's happening. Sorry, guys. I have to vote yes.
Thanks, Mr. DiCastro. Mr. Magelino?
After considering all available options, I am also in agreement with the order of settlement. Thanks.
And guys, I appreciate everybody's comments because, thanks, Mr. And I get it, and you guys have been passionate, and but we're bound by the zoning code, by the zoning ordinance that the council has passed. And the standards for the special use permit were met within their documents, and we don't have anything to refute that. So I'm going to vote yes for the stipulation as well. So we are all in favor, 5-0, of the stipulation. Thanks, everybody.
Stipulation was just get
to. Yeah, and it's not.
Motion to adjourn.
Mr. Tucker, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Mr. Michelino, all in favor say aye. Opposed say no. Motion or meeting adjourned.